do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see, connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
And my name is Carolyn.
And your English will improve today. We're talking about Joe's experiences in Nepal. Of course, all throughout this year, you've read many articles about travel. And Joe has written many of those articles. She has done a lot of traveling, and especially we've learned about her experiences in Nepal. She went there to work for a nonprofit organization. Carolyn, what kind of work did she do?
Well, Joe's job was to interview local people and to write articles about those interviews and send them back to the nonprofit's headquarters in New York. Now, the nonprofit itself, we learned, was actually trying to help women learn how to read and write, take care of their families, and how to use and pay back microloans.
Okay, so this is what Joe was doing. She volunteered to do this, and she had a good time doing it. But of course, she also experienced homesickness. Well, we're going to learn more about her experiences in today's lesson, so let's get started. Life in Nepal, Part 3.
Life in Nepal, Part 3. My challenges continued in Kathmandu. I returned to Kathmandu from Dolaka, a bit worse for wear. I had planned to stay in the village only 1 week, but a political strike halted public transportation, which forced my translator and me to stay longer. Then the day the strike ended, I got food poisoning, which delayed my return another 2 days. Flexibility is key. That advice from the nonprofit's director seemed like ages ago.
Hello, friends. This is your word lady, Ellen. Experiencing a new culture can be challenging, even in the best of situations. In this month's Passport article, we're back for part 3 of Joe's adventures in Nepal. Before we begin, let's take a look at our vocabulary for the day. Worse for wear. Worse for wear is an idiom. Our tent looked a little worse for wear after the bad storm. Translator. Translator is a noun. Amanda will need a translator when she visits Hungary. Dormitory. Dormitory is a noun. Many university students live in dormitories during their first year or two at school. Whisk. Whisk is a verb. My mom whisked me away for a fun day of shopping at the mall. Your more information word is flexibility. Flexibility is a noun. Do you enjoy experiencing new cultures? Think about that as we begin.
All right, well, let's go back to the beginning of our lesson here. We read, "My challenges continued in Kathmandu." All right, so we already learned about some of Joe's challenges from last month's lesson, her life in Nepal. And she returned to Kathmandu in today's lesson. Of course, earlier she was at a little village called Dolaka. Now, Dolaka and Kathmandu, they're quite different, I'm sure. Dolaka is a little village. Carolyn, what is Kathmandu?
Well, Kathmandu would be the capital city, the major city in Nepal. Mm-hmm. And these two cities are about an 8-hour bus ride apart, if you remember from our previous lessons. Joe enjoyed an 8-hour bus ride to the sound of wonderful Bollywood love songs. Right, Gabe?
Yes, she was in a crowded bus listening to Bollywood love songs, among other things. Well, let's get started here. She writes, "I returned to Kathmandu from Dolaka a bit worse for wear." We're going to continue learning about why in a moment, but first, let's look at that word from our word bank. Three words, actually. Worse for wear. If you're worse for wear, it means you're worn out. How could you use this phrase, Carolyn?
Well, you can use it to describe people, or you can use it to describe things. Most often, I hear this phrase used to talk about clothing. So, if someone's clothes are maybe starting to get worn out, or they have holes in them, you could say, your clothes are looking a little bit worse for wear, or a little worse for wear. You might want to buy some new ones.
Let's go shopping. Hey, that's a good idea. If your clothes are a bit worse for wear, maybe you need to, well, go shopping, get some new ones. Maybe you have a car or some kind of machine that's a little bit old. You could say it's kind of worse for wear. You might need to replace some parts or get a new one. Well, Joe was a little bit worse for wear after her experience in Dolaka. We continue here. I had planned to stay in the village only 1 week. All right, she was just going to be there for 1 week, but she ended up being there for a longer time. Why?
Well, we find out. But a political strike halted public transportation, which forced my translator and me to stay longer. So she was only going to be there for a week, but there was a political strike. Gabe, that's something very interesting there, a political strike that halted public transportation.
That's right. Well, sometimes people come together, they form unions, and then they might go on strike. They're trying to make a stand against something. Or sometimes people get together. There was a writer's strike a couple of years ago in Hollywood, and so they stopped writing. They just stopped doing their work because they wanted more pay. They wanted something, and that's why people go on strike. Steve and Ken will explain a little bit more about a strike in the information cloud. But first, let's take a look at our word from the word bank here. The translator, Joe's translator. Carolyn, who is a translator?
Well, a translator is a person who changes one language into another language. So they translate. Many times if you're talking about a person who is doing this orally or speaking, we would call them an interpreter. And translator is usually someone who writes. So they take a written document and change it from one language to another. But you can also use that word to talk about someone who speaks two languages.
Exactly. And so Joe, well, while she was in Nepal, she didn't speak the language there. So, of course, she needed a translator to be with her. Now it's time for us to learn more with Steve and Ken in the information cloud about strikes.
When employees get really upset with their employer, they may decide to stop working. And sometimes the result is a strike action, or more commonly known as a strike.
That's right, Ken. What usually happens is employees just walk out of their workplace. And so a strike can also be called a walkout. But there is a difference between the two.
Right. Walkout is normally used to refer to a strike in its earliest moments. A strike that is in its second or third month is not called a walkout because everyone has, well, walked out.
And then there are also times when workers choose to do the opposite of walking out. They refuse to leave their workplace until a settlement is reached. And that is called a sit-down strike.
Which can also be called a sit-in. But a sit-in usually refers to a type of demonstration in which participants occupy a space by sitting down and refusing to move until certain demands are met.
Okay, and then there are hunger strikes. That is when people protest by not eating. Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. were two famous people who went on a hunger strike.
And there's one other type of strike. When moms are fed up with household chores, they may decide to go on strike by not cooking a meal or not doing the laundry.
This is, of course, an informal usage of strike. Moms who go on strike often do so because they don't feel appreciated.
今天这一课的作者提到在尼泊尔发生了一场 strike 其实是 strike action 的简称，就是罢工，有时候呢也称为 walk out， 字面上是走出去，就是走人了，不工作了，但并不是所有的罢工都是 walk out， 有时候刚好相反，员工可能会来一个 sit down strike，霸占罢工，就是坐着不走，霸占办公室或工厂以达成诉求。 sit down strike 跟 sit in 又不太一样， sit in 是静坐，那是一种示威运动。那还有一种抗议的行为呢，是 hunger strike， 虽然用到 strike 这个字，但那并不是罢工， hunger strike 指的是绝食抗议。 strike 还有一个口语的用法，如果一个家庭主妇哪一天觉得太累，不想再煮饭，不想做家事，那她有可能会说 I'm going on strike。 这就是今天的 InfoCloud， 我们下次云端见。
Thank you guys. Now we were talking about a political strike that halted public transportation, so Joe was not able to return to Kathmandu on time. And we continue reading. Then, the day the strike ended, I got food poisoning, which delayed my return another 2 days. Oh, she is not having very good luck here, Gabe.
No, she's not. She had to stay in the laka longer than she expected, and then she got food poisoning. I don't know if you've ever had food poisoning, but of course it's a terrible experience. So she wasn't able to return for another 2 days. But she remembers something here, and we see it in quotations. Flexibility is key. Why is it in quotations? Because someone told her this. It was a word of advice. Flexibility is key. And what does that mean?
Well, it means that the most important thing for her to do while on this trip, doing this internship, is to be flexible. Mm-hmm. She needs to be able to respond to changes quickly and easily.
That's right. You know what? When a lot of people apply to work at Studio Classroom, that's one of the things that we hear. Flexibility is key. It's important to be flexible. Well, Joe says that advice from the nonprofit's director seemed like ages ago. So she really wasn't there for ages. She wasn't there for many years. But still, she was there long enough for it to seem like a long time ago.
That's right. Well, right now, it is time for us to learn something new with Michelle in the Language Lab. Let's go there now.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michelle. 这篇文章第一个重点，我们看 worse for wear 这个成语。这里的 wear 有磨损的意思，所以 worse for wear 是指狼狈底或疲惫底，当副词片语使用。例如 after being lost for 2 hours, we reached the hotel a bit worse for wear. 经过两个小时的迷路之后，我们疲惫不堪地到达了旅馆。Worse for wear 也可以当形容词，意思是指破旧的或者是损坏的。例如 Daddy's armchair is a bit worse for wear. 爸爸的扶手椅已经有点老旧了。继续我们来看的是 translator 这个名词。它的动词是 translate, T-R-A-N-S-L-A-T-E, 意思是翻译。去掉它的字尾 e， 再加上代表人的字尾 or， translator 是指翻译员或者是译者。例如 you need a professional translator to translate this document， 你需要一位专业的翻译来翻译这份文件。 translator 除了指文字翻译的人之外，也指口译者，和 interpreter 的意思是一样的。例如 Brandon took his translator to the meeting， Brandon 带了口译员跟他一起来参加会议。
We continue our adventure with Jo in her article Life in Nepal, Part 3. Today we've learned that she returned from Dolaka to Kathmandu, a bit worse for wear. She's not doing very well after her trip to Dolaka. She was going to be there only a week, but her return was delayed because of a political strike. Then she got food poisoning and had to wait another 2 days with her translator. They were both delayed on their return trip. Well, we have a lot more to learn about her experience once she does arrive in Kathmandu. Let's read about it now.
Life in Nepal, Part 3. I finally arrived at Summit Girls Dormitory, my home away from home in Kathmandu. 30 Nepali girls lived here, all students at a local university. Few of them spoke English, but we still connected right away. When I arrived, a thin girl, about 18 years old, came up to me, took my arm, and said, "I love you." She then whisked me upstairs to show me the room she shared with 3 other girls. But our budding friendship was short-lived. That evening, the dorm father told me I couldn't hang around the other girls anymore. Why? I was too fascinating and would distract them from their studies.
Well, that's really sad. It seems like what Joe needs right now, especially, is some good friends, some good company. Well, we're going to learn more about her experiences in our next lesson. But let's go back to the beginning of this paragraph here. Joe writes, "I finally arrived at Summit Girls Dormitory, my home away from home in Kathmandu." Carolyn, what is a dormitory?
Well, a dormitory is a word from our word bank, and that is a building that you usually see at a school that houses a large number of people. Mm-hmm. So I lived in a dormitory for 4 years in college. I had roommates and I lived at the school that I went to.
Nice. Okay, well, I did as well. I lived in the dorms. Sometimes you can shorten the word dormitory to just dorm, and you could say you lived in the dorms. I lived in the dorms for 2 years in university. I was also in the dorms in high school for 1 year. Carolyn, at your university, did you have dorms for both guys and girls, or was it only girls' dorm and only guys' dorm?
We had a lot of different dorm options. We mm-hmm. had a dorm that was all girls, which is where I lived, and then there was another all girls dorm and an all guys dorm, mm-hmm. and then there was a dorm where guys were on one side of the building okay. and girls were on the other.
Okay, well, and sometimes you might call that kind of dorm a co-ed dorm, co-ed, co/ed, a co-ed dorm, where guys and girls are living in the same dormitory. Well, here she's in a girls' dormitory in Kathmandu. She continues, 30 Nepali girls lived here, all students at a local university. Well, how does she continue?
Well, she writes, few of them spoke English, but we still connected right away. So she didn't let the language barrier get in her way mm-hmm. of connecting with these girls. So even though they didn't speak English, or just a few of them did, and she didn't really speak any of the local language, they were still able to connect right away.
That's right. And she says, when I arrived, a thin girl about 18 years old came up to me, took my arm, and said, "I love you." Well, that sounds really sweet. Just as soon as she arrived, this is one of the first people that she encounters. Then this girl, she whisked Joe upstairs. She writes, she then whisked me upstairs to show me the room she shared with 3 other girls. So Carolyn, this girl really wants to get to know Joe.
Yes, we can see from the language that Joe uses to write this, to describe the event, that this young girl, this Nepali girl, is very excited to meet Joe. She says, "I love you," and she grabs her arm and then whisks her upstairs. And whisk is a great word from our word bank. If you whisk something, then it is done very quickly, but usually not very hard. It's not a harsh action. It's very light.
That's right. Maybe someone whisks you away. They need you for some reason, and so they grab you and take you away, just like this girl did with Joe. Maybe there's a lot of trash on the table. You need to whisk the trash off the table and into the garbage can. Okay, so this girl whisked Joe upstairs to meet 3 other girls, but Joe says, but our budding friendship was short-lived. Well, let's take a look at that word budding. What does that mean, Carolyn? Something is budding.
Well, when you think of a bud that's kind of like a flower before it has bloomed, right? So if something is budding, then it is just beginning to grow. It hasn't fully developed or opened yet, but it's starting.
That's right. And I usually see this word used to talk about relationships when they're just starting. A budding relationship. Maybe a budding romance between a guy and a girl. Or here, a budding friendship. And Joe says it was short-lived. We'll talk more about that later. For now, let's learn something with Liz in the Grammar Gym.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Grammar Gym. My name is Liz. In our article today, we see this sentence, but our budding friendship was short-lived. That's our grammar tip sentence. Our focus today is on the phrase short-lived. We use this phrase to describe something that doesn't last for a long time. So, in today's sentence, the writer is saying the friendship was a short one. Now, friends, this phrase, short-lived, is usually used when you want to describe how something ended quickly, usually because it was interrupted by something else. For example, Wendy's dream to become a vet was short-lived when she realized she was allergic to dogs and cats. Or, Spencer's plan to study abroad was short-lived when his mother became ill and he had to take care of her. So, give this phrase a try. Think of something that didn't last long and practice using short-lived to describe the situation. And, if you'd like to see some more example sentences, then check out today's grammar tip section for more example sentences. This is Liz from the Grammar Gym. See you next time. Bye.
Thank you, Liz. We were talking about Joe's budding friendship with these young girls being short-lived, and we find out why. That evening, the dorm father told me I couldn't hang around the other girls anymore. Now, Gabe, that word father is in quotation marks.
Yeah, that's because he wasn't their actual biological father. He was just in charge. He was responsible for these girls. And why couldn't they hang out with or hang around Joe? Well, she says, I was too fascinating and would distract them from their studies. That's really sad. So she lost this opportunity to get to know these girls more. Let's take a look at that word fascinating. At the end of this word, you see ing. Now, Carolyn, when should you use ing and when should you use ed?
Well, if you want to describe the way that you are feeling, then you should use ED.
Okay.
So if you think something is very interesting, then you are interested in it. If you think something is fascinating, then you are fascinated by it.
Okay, so another thing that Joe could say is that these girls were fascinated with her or fascinated by her. So she was fascinating to them. That's why she says, I was too fascinating and might distract them from their studies. Well, let's take a look at what Michelle has to say here in the language lab.
好，接下来我们看的是 whisk 这个动词。whisk 在这里是指迅速带走或送走。例如 ,the movie star was whisked away in a van, 一部包厢车快速地把这位电影明星带走。或者是 the patient was whisked to the OR right away, 这位病人立刻被快速地送进开刀房。whisk 也指快速经过。例如 ,the president whisked through Japan and went back to the US。总统快速地过境日本之后就回到了美国。最后我们看这段课文的最后一句话里面的 distract 这个动词。DIS 这个字首有离开的意思，所以 distract 是指使分心、使转向或者是使苦恼。例如 ,the kids were distracted by the noise from the construction site. 小朋友因为工地的噪音而分心。如果要说明由哪里转向，是用 from 这个介系词。例如 ,Frank would not let anything distract him from his online game. Frank 不会让任何事物干扰到他打线上游戏。And now, back to our lesson.
Well, I am always fascinated with Joe's traveling experiences. Aren't you?
Yes, Gabe, I am. I love reading the articles that she gives us for these passports. And I've particularly enjoyed this Life in Nepal series, and we'll be continuing part 3 tomorrow on Studio Classroom.
So we'll see you then.
To have you in my life, a good friend, last a lifetime.